Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, prophecy that was made 700 years before it came to pass. 700 years before the birth of Christ, the prophet Isaiah said in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." There are 8 Hebrew words that are used here in this passage of Scripture that's been translated into English for us. 8 Hebrew words. We want to look at those 8 words tonight and see what we have in our wonderful, precious Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, the word wonderful. He is wonderful. In Psalm 77, verse 11, it says, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old." And in there it has a reference to his miracles that he performed, and wonders, as is translated here. In Psalm 78, in verse 12, "Marvelous things," that's the same word that's translated wonderful, "marvelous things," it's translated here, "did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zion." And so we see that he is wonderful because he can do miracles. Nothing too hard for him. In Psalm 119, verse 120, the Bible says, "Thy testimonies are wonderful," same word, "therefore doth my soul keep them." So he is wonderful in the fact that he has given us his word. And the Bible tells us in John 1, verses 1 through 3, that he is called the Word of God, Revelation chapter 19, verse 13. And Jesus told us in Hebrews 10, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 10 and Psalm 40 and verse 7, 2 places, "The volume of the book, it is written of me," quoting Jesus, "in the volume of the book, it is written of me." 2 places, Psalm 40 verse 7, Hebrews 10 and verse 7. So he is wonderful in the fact that we can know all about him right here. He's given us his word. He is the word. It's all about him. He's wonderful. And then by the Bible, and there's so many other things we could go into about how wonderful our Savior is, but this passage kind of continues on with that in his wonder and how wonderful he is. And it tells us next that he is Counselor. And in Psalm 32 and verse 8, it says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide," that's the same word, translated counselor, "I will guide thee with mine eye." There is no greater teaching, no greater teaching on how to live life to the fullest outside of Jesus Christ. No greater teachings on how to live life to the fullest than the counsel of Jesus Christ. He has taught us how to live. We have the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, the teachings of our Lord concerning how we should live our lives. He is our counselor, and he will be our guide even unto death. He will take care of us throughout the endless ages of eternity. Then notice the next thing it says there, the next Hebrew word that's used is mighty. Mighty. The mighty God. Mighty. The word mighty is one Hebrew word. And in Psalm 24, it says, "Who is this King of glory?" Psalm 24, verse 8. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. There it is again. The Lord mighty in battle. So the Bible tells us that He is all-powerful. He is mighty. Revelation 1:8, Jesus said about Himself, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And that word in the Greek there in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent. That's the same word that's translated Almighty in Revelation 1:8. Meaning that when He said He's Almighty, He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And so we see that He is wonderful because He can do miracles. He speaks His word and things happen. He's given us His counsel to guide us. He created us. He showed us how to live. Taught us the best way to live to get the fullness of the joy and blessings of this life. He is wonderful. He is mighty, all-powerful. I was reading this by Henry Ward Beecher. He said, consider the fact that the earth is 25,000 miles in circumference, weighs 6 septillion, 588 sextillion tons, and hangs unsupported in space. It spins at 1,000 miles per hour with absolute precision and flies through space around the sun at the speed of 1,000 miles per minute in an exact orbit 580 million miles long. Now, except to a mind willfully closed to the obvious, it is inconceivable that such accuracy, intricacy, and harmony could have developed by any means but by that of a master designer who rules the universe. It would be far more reasonable to think that the separate pieces of a watch could be shaken in a bag and eventually become a dependable timepiece than to think that the world could have evolved in its present state by blind chance. He is all-powerful. He speaks and things happen. The next Hebrew word, the third one there, was mighty. The fourth one is God, the mighty God. And in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 3, he said, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. And that word mighty in that verse is the same word that's translated God. It's just translated mighty here. And so when the Hebrew word God is here, it says to us that He is God. It says that He is the Creator and the only true God. That's why He is wonderful. And then notice the next Hebrew word that's used there, the fifth one, is everlasting. Everlasting. Exodus 15, verse 18. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Ever and ever is the same word that's translated everlasting here. Psalm 48, verse 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. There it is again, translated ever and ever here. He will be our guide even unto death. In Hebrews 13, 8 in the New Testament, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 5, remember Exodus 15, 18 says, the Lord, all capitals, that's Jehovah, that's Jesus, shall reign forever and ever. And then in Revelation 22, 5, and there shall be no night there, And they need no candle. This is talking about us in the new heaven and the new earth. Neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You see, He is wonderful because He is everlasting, and His salvation is everlasting. We have everlasting life through Jesus Christ. The next Hebrew word, the sixth one that's used in this passage, is Father. The word Father. Remember Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 30, He said, I and my Father are one. Isaiah 63 and verse 16, doubtless, thou art our Father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not, thou, O Lord, all capitals, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. And so we notice that He is the everlasting Father. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. He is our God. He is our shepherd. Psalm 23. The Lord is our shepherd, is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then the seventh Hebrew word that's used in this passage is the word prince. And Micah chapter 5 tells us, and this man shall be the peace. He's the prince of peace. This word prince has the meaning of chief or captain. He's the chief or the captain of peace. He is the only way to true peace. He is the prince. He's the chief, the captain. It's translated in other places, chief and captain, this word prince. And then the final word, the eighth word in the Hebrew, is peace. Reminds us of Philippians 4, 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. There's no greater peace than the peace that Jesus Christ gives. Hebrews 13:20, in what's sometimes called the apostolic benediction, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Prince of Peace. And in this passage, we have summed up for us all that Jesus is. In verse 2, it tells us, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. There's the dark side of Christmas. You say, what's that, Pastor? What's the dark side of Christmas? The dark side of Christmas is that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The dark side of Christmas is the fact that we are all sinners. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. We are doomed because we are sinners. That's the dark side of Christmas. But the bright side of Christmas, the light of Christmas, is that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He said in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the light of Christmas. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He that cometh to me shall not walk in darkness. The dark side of Christmas, we're all sinners, we're lost, we're doomed. There's no way of escape. But the bright side is that Jesus made a way of escape. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The light of the world has come. That's the brightness of Christmas. I read this little story about D.L. Moody. He was the famous evangelist, you know. He told this story at one of his meetings. He said, one evening just before Christmas, a man was walking through the streets of an eastern city. The store windows were all beautifully decorated, and he observed three little girls intensely interested in one of them. He discovered that the girl in the center was blind, and the others were trying to describe the beautiful things in the window. Why, they said, can't you see the teddy bear and that doll? Just look at that pretty pink bow. But the poor little girl stood with a blank expression on her face and could not appreciate the beautiful things before her. Now, said Moody, this is an illustration of the effort we Christians are making to arouse the unconverted to an interest and delight in spiritual things. The reason we can't do so is because the sinner is spiritually blind. Moody had scarcely concluded when a reporter was on the platform asking him where he had heard that story. Oh, said Moody, I read it in one of those daily papers. I have forgotten which one. Then the reporter said, I'm the one who wrote the story because I was there and saw the whole thing. I see now that I am just like that little girl, spiritually blind. And the story went on to say that that man was converted then and there, came to Christ. The world is blinded by sin. The devil hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. They can't see. They need to open their eyes and look and see that this child that was born around 2,000 years ago was more than just a normal baby. This was God the Son, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And when you take these things that are described for us about Him, and then it goes on in verse 7 and tells us that the time will come when He will rule and reign over the earth, the 1,000-year reign of Christ that's prophesied, and then we will be with Him in the new heaven and the new earth where we'll reign with Him throughout the endless ages of eternity. The Bible reveals that He is everything. He is the all in all. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 12. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Ephesians 4, 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Colossians 3:11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You see, the Bible tells us in these things that He's Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The eight Hebrew words that are used to describe that tell us that He is the everything. He is all we need. And we need to bow before Him and yield our lives to Him and allow Him to have His way. Charles Spurgeon said it this way. He said, it is a joy to all nations that Christ is born. The Prince of Peace, the King who rules in righteousness. Beloved, the greatest joy is to those who know Christ as a Savior, The further you submit yourself to Christ the Lord, the more completely you know Him, the fuller will your happiness become. Surface joy is to those who live where the Savior is preached. But the great deeps, the great fathomless deeps of solemn joy, which glisten and sparkle with delight, are for such as know the Savior, obey the Anointed One, and have communion with the Lord Himself. You will never know the fullness of the joy which Jesus brings to the soul unless under the power of the Holy Spirit you take the Lord, your Master, to be your all in all and make Him the fountain of your intensest delight. How true. To see the Savior, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Oh, to really fall in love with the Lord, to really let Him have your life, you will find a peace that you've never known before. A peace that passeth all understanding. And you will find Him to be just that. Wonderful. You'll find that He will counsel and guide you and help you to see things in a different light. You'll find that He is the Mighty God, and the problems and the difficulties that we face, He can overcome them, and He does in His time. And He is the Everlasting Father, the Shepherd of our souls. He takes care of us. He looks after us. He disciplines us when we need it. He works for our benefit. And as we said, the Prince of Peace. What a peace. What a peace to those who allow Jesus to have control in their life. And if you really want to get the message of Christmas and you really want to make Christmas come alive, just turn your life over to Jesus. Just make a commitment that, you know, He's my Savior. I put my faith and trust in Him, but He's going to have me. I'm going to give myself to Him. I remember when that became a reality in my life as an 18-year-old young man, and I walked forward to give my life to Christ. I look back over my life and, you know, I would never, never, ever, ever change that. What a blessing it has been to my life to say, okay, Lord, You've got me. You have me. From now on, I don't make the decisions. You do. You lead me, You guide me, and He will if we're honest with Him. He will lead us every step of the way. But that takes some work on our part. To stay in our Bible, to read it every day, to pray, to seek the Lord in guidance, not make hasty decisions. Through my life, I've found those times when I made my hasty decisions and I realized, whoa, I've tried to go around the Lord. And I've had to go back and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I need You to lead me and guide me. Is the Christ of Christmas real in your life? Or is He still just a story about a baby that was laid in a manger? Wise men came later to the house where He was and visited, and it's just a story. Or is the Christ of Christmas real in your life? That ought to be the goal of every Christian. That when I go through Christmas, I will come out of it loving my Lord more, being closer to Him, making Him more real in my life, so that that day when I meet Him face to face, He won't be a stranger to me. I will finally meet my friend, the one who loved me and gave Himself for me. How is Christ in your life tonight? That's the real message of Christmas. Is He wonderful? Is He the Counselor? Is He the Mighty God? Is He the Everlasting Father? Is He the Prince of Peace? Do you have that peace that passeth understanding? If you have to answer in the negative to that, then you have a challenge to work to get closer to this Lord. And you will find these things to become real in your life. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for the Savior. So great a Savior. So great salvation. So wonderful Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government. The increase of His government and peace. There shall be no end. Just continues to get better and better. Father, we thank You for it. Help us this year coming to make You more in our lives. To allow You to lead us and guide us and to yield ourselves completely to You and to be careful in all the decisions that we make that we will seek Your leadership and Your guidance in it all. That we'll stay in our Bibles and read them every day and pray and be faithful to church and try to keep our spiritual life fervent and hot, boiling over for You. Father, we do thank You for the opportunity that we have to live and to experience You. Help us to be all that You want us to be in these last days that we live. We look forward to the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We realize from reading the Word that it may be soon. Help us this Christmas to come out of the Christmas season with a zeal to be more for Christ, to love You more, to serve You more. We thank You for it, and we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.